Habitation in Space and on Earth, Part 2, written by Z. Charnot, March 23, 88, presented at the Worldwide Philosophy Class, What Life Is and What Life Is For, Session Number 4. I came to Canada with my Canadian wife from Switzerland the end of 1979. I subsequently became a Canadian citizen. In the early 80s, I worked in Massachusetts for a small multinational engineering firm, Crofta Engineering, designing and developing wastewater treatment systems. Afterwards, I was one of the directors of a company growing cucumbers, tomatoes, etc., hydroponically. In 1983, I went back to school. I spent 9 semesters there. I began at the University of Guelph. I ended at the University of Waterloo. I wanted to refresh my knowledge of the life science, but more importantly, I wanted to understand the sociological and psychological aspects of human behavior. My senior academic supervisor is here today, Professor Kiyoshi Izumi. Some of you may have had an opportunity to meet him earlier, or you may yet have the opportunity to meet him this afternoon during free time. He is a planner extraordinaire. He still teaches the ethical foundations of planning at the University of Waterloo as adjunct professor. He is a director of Domain Environments Corporation and of Domain Ecodynamics Research Foundation, of which Domain Environments is a subsidiary. But I hope to tell you something about a unique approach to planning, an approach where we combine the biophysical with the psychosocial. This is an approach we use in the planning of communities, whether in Africa or in South America, in Asia or in Canada. In Europe, I worked on the Nile City project, a replacement for Beirut, the financial capital of the 27 Arab countries. In Europe, I worked on a floating city to provide an alternative to war as a homeland for the Palestinians. Here is a diagram of the generalized principles of planned proximities and planned flow. I invented a modular dome structure which may be used in a project in the Caribbean, a kind of Jamaican Ontario place, where you select your meal by pointing to it, growing in the restaurant. At Boeing, we were attempting to support life in space, yet we don't even know how to support life on Earth. In order to not rely on tanks of oxygen and hydrogen, we introduced the source of oxygen upon which we rely on Earth, plant life. In the 60s, the oxygen in our atmosphere was thought to come solely from the breakdown of water vapor and the escape of hydrogen into space. It was hard to find a journal to publish the views of James Lovelock that our atmosphere was a dynamic extension of the biosphere. Carl Sagan finally published Lovelock's work in Icarus. Consensus science now understands that life in the oceans supplied the first oxygen in the atmosphere. The acknowledgement that life processes were major players in the composition of the atmosphere wasn't fully acknowledged by consensus science until the Dahlem Conference in Berlin last November, 11 months ago. Recently, it became understood that oxygen interacts with the radiant energy of the sun to provide the ozone layer in the stratosphere that shields us from ultraviolet B radiation. That oxygen comes from plant life or photosynthetic microbes from photosynthesis. We are dependent upon other life forms, plant life, for these two most essential functions. First, shielding from ultraviolet B radiation by means of ozone generated from oxygen provided by plant life, and secondly, oxygen to breathe. But we are dependent upon plant life for more than this. we must rid ourselves of the attitude that we can defoliate Vietnam to expose the Viet Cong or slash and burn the rainforests for the sake of development. More at home, we can't ruthlessly cut down scores of old trees on Silver Creek Parkway in Guelph to make way for a parking lot without affecting human life and other life, and that is only some of what we must stop doing. There are also some things that we must start doing. We seal off buildings in order to make them energy efficient and warm. Now, energy efficiency is an environmental concern. It cuts down on energy demand and perhaps diminishes either fossil fuel burning, unnecessary water flow in hydroelectric facilities, or the problem of radioactive waste generation. But we use building materials that outgas. Carpets, adhesives, wall coverings, paints. We accumulate carbon dioxide and use up the oxygen in our indoor spaces. We take in polluted at our so-called fresh air intakes. We take in polluted air at our so-called fresh air intakes. Of course, we want to leave early in the afternoon. Of course, we want to get outside at noon or any other time. Of course, there is rising absenteeism. Of course, we feel drowsy. We can't breathe. We substitute plastic flowers, which outgas, for real plants that give us oxygen and take up carbon dioxide. Gentlemen, I expect at least a memorandum from you saying, no more plastic plants. We want the real thing in our environment. Of course, humidity levels must be slightly higher. I suggest fountains, pools, and aquariums. The lighting must be adequate, or the plants won't live. The higher humidity risks mold and bacterial growth. We have an answer to that, too, but I'm not making a commercial plug. I'm considering your own commitment to preventive health measures, to diminishing or eliminating absenteeism with improved indoor environments. It takes a 115-year-old beech tree to supply enough oxygen for each human being because the trees use some of the oxygen. Life in and on the tree uses some. The rest is available for man. Plants give off 5 to 6 times their leaf weight in water on a sunny day, so plant life is a means of elevating the humidity. So in space, instead of bringing tanks of oxygen and hydrogen, we were better off to bring in life. With life forms, plants or photosynthetic microbes, we could harvest light from the sun if it was filtered. We could extract the carbon dioxide from the outbreath of the astronauts. We could supply the oxygen for them to breathe on a sustainable basis. We could supply the water from the condensate of the evaporation and transpiration from the leaves. We simply had to keep the plants alive. That meant we needed to think about plant nutrition. We had to consider the essential environment for plant life. Soil microbes played a part in that. Soil animals played a part. We had manure. To make the story short, there is no habitable room for people without habitable room for other life forms. With tennis, you must hit the ball in the air or after one bounce. After 2 bounces, it doesn't count. Planning is like that. After the fact, critical commentary means you've made a commitment, you've used resources, you've used time. Where there are urgencies from the changing global climate, drought, global warming, the increased intensity of ultraviolet B radiation from ozone layer depletion, when there are urgencies because 100,000 lakes in eastern Canada have been affected by acid rain, when water supplies are polluted or toxified, the resources matter, the time matters. Please proceed to part 2.